This song is going to make... I'm going to start crying in a minute.
Oh, boy. You're such a goddamn pushover. You know, Billy wasn't he wasn't so sophisticated back then, I got to tell you. He was, the most gullible nerd. So I could do anything.
You were Mr. Hot then, man. Yeah, you didn't even take notice of me.
You know what? I tell everybody...
You probably felt that I was lucky to be working with you at that time.
I absolutely did feel that, Billy. You're correct. But the truth is... how these fables become, like truths. I told people for the longest time that, I discovered Billy. That's absolutely not true. I had nothing to do with it. But I said, oh, sure, because who knew? Billy became a huge big shot, So I like to take credit for good things.
Look at me, my goodness. That was such a cutie pie.
That's, Billy Joe Green right there. I remember this day that he was kicking punts, and they said, you want to try? We want to show you how to run back some punts. And I didn't want to say, hey, I played ball at Michigan State, da, 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 da.
And this guy, did you play? What?
Well, I mostly was a tackling dummy.
There you are. Yeah. Look at that.
What a good-looking guy.
Pretty cute guys.
Hey, Brian Piccolo. Met up in Buffalo in that All-America game last June.
But, you and I had a real... I was just talking about it earlier. I was sort of alluding to it or getting to it, but we did... the moment we met each other, there was an immediate chemistry. It was like two guys
but
who didn't.
Kissing me in front of the entire Chicago band was a little stupid, Bill. It was bad enough that, and by the way, Brian was only dead 6 months, I believe, when we filmed this.
Really?
And Joy, this first scene, Joy was here. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember Joy?
Yeah, I remember Joy, of course.
It was the first day we met her. This was our first day of shooting, this scene right here.
This day? Yeah.
Yeah. It scared me to death because I'll never forget this. This is freaky. We were doing this scene, and Joy was on the side, and she started crying. I said, oh, my God, I can't go on with this, mm-hmm. And she said, where'd you learn to put your tongue in your mouth like that? Now, who the heck's that? I didn't know Brian. You know what I mean? I mean, I should have, but...
Well, that was something that he did?
Yeah. I mean, it was the strangest, weirdest thing.
But did you ever get the feeling that this whole experience was something very special, more special? Did you think about it later? That this was really I did. For me, it was a very special time. It was like, when people ask me about Brian's song, I always say to them, to me, it was like an act of love. That's the only way I can express it. Because everything seemed to fall into place, at least from my perspective.
Yeah. I didn't expect the aftermath.
I mean, Buzz Kulick.
Right. And Billy Blinn, who died, by the way.
Yeah.
He
did die?
Yeah.
When did he die?
He died quite a while ago.
Oh.
But, he deserves so much of this credit. Yeah.
No, no, no. Two years ago.
Well, then, it's not that long ago, but I hope he died because they buried him.
Mm.
But
I felt that...
I hope. Maybe I'm wrong. You know what? It's another writer I'm thinking of.
No, you had to be thinking because...
Oh, my God.
Hey,
Billy, I'm sorry. Billy, if you're listening, I'm really, really sorry.
The man is losing it, Bill.
Well, I was thinking of... okay. But...
Too much partying, too much good times.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you said downstairs, which is true. I was a sick guy. Billy came here to act.
God damn.
Billy was a very serious actor. And I literally came. See, there's Billy Blinn, who deserves all the credit, because this could have been such a maudlin, and he had that, humor in it. And I mean... We helped it a little, but Billy.
Well, helped it a little because you were always, cutting up and carrying on and being a fool.
Well, I was actually trying to get a contract with the Bears, and that's how sick I was. And Billy, Billy just wanted to act.
Yes, Jimmy really thought he could get out there and play football with these guys and almost got himself killed. Yeah, me, I just came there to do one thing. And that
Where's Billy?
Act.
Oh, he's studying. Where's Jimmy? He's in the scrimmage. He's getting his head taken off. Yeah.
But I admire that in you. I have to tell you that. I really like that in you. I thought that was pretty great.
Abe Gibron.
Here's a funny man, this guy.
Oh,
here.
Jack Warden is just hysterical. It's a great story with Jack Warden. We were playing ball. Were you there the day when it was just one of these first or second days? We were doing a lot of work. I was throwing a ball, catching a ball, running with the guys.
Right.
And he was a great athlete. He was a boxer. A pretty good athlete.
Really? No kidding. I didn't know
So that. He says, come on, throw me. I said, no. And I was kidding around. I said, Jack, you don't want to mess with us big guys out here, Da, 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 da. So I said, all right, run a little look. And I threw him a 10-yard pin. He broke his pinky. It was on the first day.
I didn't know that. I missed out on all that stuff.
See, because you were busy acting. Yes. Jesus.
But I'll never forget the first time I ever saw Jack Warden. I was on 42nd Street. He was walking down 42nd Street of all places back around the late 60s, and when the Actor's Studio was really big in New York. and acting was really big in New York. And I remember my buddy and I were walking down the street, and we saw Jack Warden, and the guy, you know, when I met him, he's not very tall, but he had like there was something really tough looking about this guy, you know.
He's a tough guy, Jack.
Yeah, he is a tough guy, but what a great sense of humor, though.
This was a very funny scene.
Well, I was just trying to get on the side of your good ear.
Good ear?
What are you talking about, good ear? Brian Bigelow said...
I get you back for this, don't I?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yeah, right, okay.
Oh, boy.
I saw Gail about, I guess it was about a month ago. I presented an award to him, and he really looked fantastic. I said to him, I said, you know, I was really looking forward to seeing him because I wanted to see if you got fat and old. But the guy looked fantastic, man. He's in great shape.
Yeah, there's Bernie Casey. I've seen Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so hold it down.
I remember that, I was so into, like, really thinking I was one of the guys because, you know, it's that macho, you know, I just wanted to be.
Yes, you are.
I mean, more than being any, you know, winning any award, I just wanted to be a Chicago Bear. You know, I really thought I could. I mean, that's how sick I was. And I got called by Gibron the next year, you know, obviously kidding, but he called me one day. He became head coach and he said, Jimmy, you got to come back. You're the best back we had. So, yeah, of course, it was a huge joke.
Gibron,
how about the do on
Gibron,
Bernie?
Did you know? Remember Gilbert Gibron? Somebody told me that. Is this true? Gibron, the only way he could sleep was to sit up in the chair.
Well, he was very large. Yeah,
and I remember his hands; they were like really thick inside, which I had never seen before.
Well, he'd snack on about three pizzas before he ate dinner.
I mean, he had a beautiful wife, and yeah. I used to wonder. I used to sit there and I wonder, what does this woman see in this man?
Fear. There's OB. There's Obradovich. Yeah. He's one of the guys who used to break my door down. Him, Dougie Buffon, and there's Butkus.
Oh, Butkus.
Every time they played in L.A.,
their
idea of humor, as I told you before, they'd come and break my front door down. I swear to God, the front door of my house would just cave in at 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, come on, let's go. This went on for a couple of years. And then I finally never had a door put up again. So made it easy.
Butkus, he was amazing on the field.
The best, to me, the best linebacker, or middle linebacker.
I mean, this guy had legs that were broken, and he was all over the place.
He was the most amazing.
Oh, here's to Wake Forest. Finest Red Roddy, Rainishville to the brim. Our sons, they are many, unrivaled by any, with hearts are flowing.
Did you pick out that yellow shirt, Bill? See, this is how I got all, you know, those two pictures I did where I sang, because I heard this rendition and I thought, boy, the guy's got a great voice, you know? And we had so much fun doing this, and so...
But can you imagine? I mean, this whole experience has been an experience that became like a part of... an intrinsic part of the American dream.
Well, what I remember most and what moved me the most was, I mean, we never, once you're doing something, here's Dave Gibron. We never, you never know, you know, what effect this film's going to have or not have. But when I heard that they were showing it at all the recesses in the high schools, you know, when they had study periods and they were showing Brian's song for the kids, that felt, that was pretty good.
But you know what I heard also? I heard that Nixon, you know, because I even read it, was in the, what's that newspaper, the Congressional Report?
I don't read, Bill. Go ahead.
Well,
it was
in the Congressional Report, right, okay, I think that's what it was. But anyway, he had made a comment about it, and also I found out Paul Anka was doing a show in Vegas, and he didn't go on stage until he got through watching this show. So it really created a tremendous impact.
Now, you see this drill right here? This was called the Nutcracker. Now, you could make of that what you will. But I remember... Oh, wait. I got to tell the people this story right here. Now, let me tell you something, folks. When Billy came... when Billy and I came... Here's this sprint right here. Okay? Now, the idea was that Billy was supposed to beat me by a stride.
Right. But
so now the director says, how do you want to do this? And I go, what do you mean, how do I want to look at this guy? He's built like a flyer. He was built like a brick you-know-what house. Billy was just...
No, but Jimmy, just was, Jimmy a minute. Was the
And
athlete.
I said, how are we going to do this? And I said, what do you mean, how are we going to do it? Blow the gun. He's going to blow right by me. Well, we run it the first time, and I beat Billy by 20 yards in a 40. And I go, come on, Billy, stop kidding around. He goes, that's as fast as I go, man.
It's true,
that's it.
True,
he
it's
said.
True, it's
you remember
true.
That? I said, how do you, what do you mean? Let's just race.
Well, it was like
me.
That. And every time we had every time we had moments when we had to run, I would have to go to Jimmy and say, look, Jimmy, could you just slow down a little bit so that I look good? Because I'm supposed to look
Billy
good.
Billy tried so hard to be white in this picture. I said, you're the black guy. You're the fast guy.
Yeah, but I'm not a black guy. That's the problem. You know?
See, that's the problem with this whole picture. Yeah. After this picture, I realized and decided
that, you were
that I was
guy.
Not going to be a football player. And Billy just refused to not be a black guy. He just went on being a black guy.
Oh, it's just, you know, being an Oreo cookie is very difficult.
He just wouldn't give up. I gave up.
I did say thank you. I know. Well, that usually calls for a response, like... You're welcome.
Yeah, I like your southern accent, man.
Well, it's Florida. I don't know what it was.
Well, she's very fine. Thank you for asking. You're welcome.
Okay, first cut. Where do we start?
Baxter.
Brenner.
Cut.
Daniels.
Cut.
Sayers.
Are you kidding?
Charles.
Shoot him.
Justifiable homicide.
What about Piccolo?
He's too slow and he's too light. But I don't know what he
You know, I remember, here's something I remember. One night, you remember that, you were always studying. You remember, I remember Buffon killed me on this play. Buffon, this was, he killed me. Anyway.
You really were into it.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I ran back in the huddle. I'm looking at it. See, I had no butt there. You see how big those pants are on my butt? You didn't have that problem, Bill.
Hey, draw a screen right. I pick up a linebacker.
I came back in the huddle. I had Jackie Kincaid, and I said, hey, man, throw the ball over my left shoulder. Come on, you know, you're going to get me killed. And Don Shy, who was the running back, said, that's the way he throws, man. That's just the way he throws. Yeah.
I know we're not holding a man up. That's why we're here. But don't tell me about the fool because I was there.
You talk like some fine old runner. Come in.
The problem is we got to get on. Pressure from this man to hold us up.
But he's not giving him pressure. He didn't at the time he gave him.
Hello, Gail.
What?
Yeah, sit down.
All right.
You know Ed McKenzie.
JC.
Well, I'll call you back. All right?
Want some iced tea?
Yeah, please.
Anyway,
I always used to wonder, how Bernie felt about all of this. You know, he was the real football player here. Yeah. And he was quite a football player.
Yeah, Bernie was great.
I'll tell you what we wanted to talk to you about, Gail. You see, I'm an old timer in a lot of ways. At least that's what some people keep telling me.
Don Huddleston.
But I don't think it's all that common for a man.
Is he still alive, dude?
You know,
I don't see him much.
You know, I made such a fool of myself when we started this thing. I ain't going to say dead or alive about anybody because I don't know, obviously. Okay. I know you're alive now, Bill.
Yeah, well, I try to be as much as I can.
Ed seems to think it's a good idea. I guess maybe we are due for some changes around here.
You want me to play flank and not running back?
No, it's not that simple, Gail. Now, J.C.'s idea... Yes, I did agree with him. Is that this is 1965, and we'd like the Bears to room together according to position without any regard to race.
You know, I mean, on a serious note, that when we first got there, and as I started to tell you that Brian had only been dead 6 months, I think I'm close to right. It was a very short time, Billy, and they loved him, and, you know, they loved him a lot. And his wife was there, and McCluskey was there. You remember all the guys were there. And I had such fear. I don't know about Billy, but here come, like, these two Hollywood poofs or whatever. And they're going to play Gail and Brian, you know? And I had to get over that, you know, because I'm a sick guy. I mean,
I said to Gail when I met him, I said to him, look, you know, you know, because we used to look at each other all the time. We used to, you know, we would always be off about maybe 200 yards from each other, just sort of looking at it, these kind of furtive things going on between each other. And so finally I decided to walk up to him and I said, look, you know, I don't think I really need this. Because he was a very quiet guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was very much very introspective. And I just said, I don't think we really need to spend any time talking to each other. We could, because I really feel like I know you. That's why I felt like, oh, this whole experience was a very special experience, because I felt like everything was had come into place as far as the actors playing these particular characters, as far as the director was concerned. I mean, as far as the whole experience was concerned. But I just told Gail, I said, you know, I don't really need to sit here and talk to you. I mean, I think I know you. I think I know how I know who you are, and I feel you. You're very much a part of me. And I was very much like Gail in those years. I was very quiet. I'm not, I mean, I'm a much more garrulous person. As I get older, I become more and more garrulous.
Yeah, I didn't know you'd become so suave, because you became very suave, Bill. Afterwards, you just been a suave guy.
I've always been very suave.
Man. This guy was a nerd, I'm telling you. He was quiet.
Well, that's what happened when you grew up in...
Billy was, like, so easy to play with at the time. And you know what I remember now? See, here, you got to help me with this one. Because you remember, there's a scene where the reporters come to us in the picture after a game, and I say something, he's a great black guy, or something that throws them off at the end after they do the serious interview, or I don't know if I use the N-word. It's in the picture, whatever it was. And the night they screened it for the first time, now, you see, this is real in my memory. It was a wonderful screening we had at ABC, I think. Do you remember when we first saw the picture?
No.
All together? And you're telling me I'm senile? Well, anyway, we had a bunch of reporters talking to Billy and I. This is after they actually saw the picture for the first time. And I did the same thing. I mean, I shocked them.
Congratulations on making the team, gentlemen. Well done.
You know, Coach Hallis kind of frowns on the hazing of new men.
But now that you've made the team, it's really like you're one of us. Welcome to the Chicago Bears!
Here's some actual footage. Look,
that's
this.
Right. We were out there, actually, but we were out also, yeah. Look at that. Unbelievable.
The greatest outside runner I've ever seen in my life. I was privileged to watch 45 minutes of film they put together for me on Gale. Mm-hmm. Just 45 minutes of his runs. It was like an E-ride at Disneyland. I had never seen nothing like that in my life. And there I was on the bench, just as I was in college. Did the same thing in college.
Look at that. Unbelievable.
Oh, here, maybe this is the scene.
Look at that body.
Oh. You are such a flyer, Bill.
Oh.
How come you couldn't run?
I have no idea.
Easier than you thought it would be. My first game, not exactly an expert.
I was a better lover than I was a runner.
Well, I'll have to take your word for that, pal.
I got bad hips.
7 blocks of silly putty, I think it was, huh?
Yeah. You're Brian Piccolo.
Sure, that's right. Piccolo, P-I-C-C-O-L-O.
You two are the only black and white player rooming together on the team. Any problems so far?
Not as long as he doesn't use a bathroom. Yeah.
That was the scene I was talking about. I did the same thing for real the night of the screening, because everybody loved the screening. It was the first screening, and they came and they talked to us. And I did a, you know, one of the black jokes, and I left them. They were stunned, and Billy hadn't laughed. They would have went away shocked, but Billy laughed and spoiled it.
Well, just start thinking about it, will you? I want to place them, too.
Look at this guy.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so on. Call us his trap play, see?
Billy, did we improvise a lot of stuff or not?
No. Not really.
I mean, a few comments I remember with the...
Yeah, maybe in this particular scene, I think we probably did a little bit, maybe. I can't remember too much else.
What have you been doing? I mean, everybody knows what I did. I know I had a few bad years, but you can't remember anything. What's the matter with
I live a very dull...
Well, I don't know. It can't be too dull. You did something with your memory.
Sends me in, so I go in, and he comes out. Cannon, then figures he's going to get really foxy now from Canada's.
I remember this scene, though. I think in this scene, we were... you were very good at improvising. I don't know how good I was.
It's also called sucker play.
But I tried to fall into place. But I mean, it all worked for the character, I think, though.
Yeah.
So anyway, all the linemen go this way, and it's like I am looking at a team portrait of the Los Angeles Rams. Hey, Deacon. Merlin, how's the family, Rosie?
I was afraid to get up. I figured not everything was going to come with me.
You have never seen anyone so black and blue in your life.
It's like a room with a certain way
again. Gail told a joke.
The stone face from Kansas speaks.
All right. Hey, Chicago. Chicago.
You never got a chance to meet Piccolo, huh?
Hey, Black Magic.
Yeah, I never met him.
You've seen him play?
I saw a little bit. You know, you know that whole speech that he gives, which is true, the whole speech that, you know, when you're recouping and when he talks about Tucker Fredrickson, and mm-hmm. was true. This guy led the nation. He led the nation in rushing that year from Wake Forest. But it was, but like nobody, you know what I mean? Because Tucker Fredrickson came out that same year, and he was like, you know, the big guy that went to the Giants. You remember that speech that when he says, well, we'll come to the scene pretty soon, but that's all. I mean, everything about this picture is pretty true. Apparently, Ralph Keurig was really very, very close to Gale. I mean, they left Ralph out of it. He was another running back, but him and Gale and Brian, I guess those three guys were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not that long ago that we're talking about this kind of segregation stuff. I mean, you know, now it's like you can joke about it, but it was no. In 70, I mean, look how old we're getting.
But there's no segregation in this.
No, but the whole point is, these are the first two guys. Billy, let me explain picture to you.
Right, okay. It's the first two guys who roomed together.
Yeah, black and white guys that ever roomed together. Yes. And it seems like that should be like we're talking about the 1800s, but it's 1971.
See, I didn't know that.
See, I'm glad you came today, Billy, because now you could tell other stories about this picture.
Well, I'm not a great big sports fan. You know, I never kept up with sports. I mean, I played a little bit, but
No, but the point is, if you think about it, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? That as late as 1971, I mean, these two guys were the first guys that roomed together, black and white. I find that to be amazing anyway. I could never talk when Billy's accepting the award, so we're not going to talk over this, okay? Forgive me.
Thank you.
It's amazing. They spent all of that time on nothing. A few little expressions.
Who would ever believe?
All right, let's go. On the line, Davis, Turner.
Oh, here's one of the lines that we got in there. Do you remember this, Bill? About the kid?
Ready, set.
I don't know how these people are going to put up with this commentary, Bill. Watch this.
Hey, since when does the defensive lineman have to race the defensive halfback?
Not
racing
against
me, racing against the clock. I still ought to have some kind of a handicap.
Well, you said the defensive backfield was your handicap all
day. He was a pretty good runner, wasn't he? This 23?
Bro, come on, cut it out now. Come on, pick it back to the line. Ready, set.
I remember when we were standing at the scale, and I was standing around these guys about 250 pounds, 300 pounds.
Here's that line that they incorporated.
Like you in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I am. I'm working hard all winter. You get a chance to talk to Linda today?
No, why?
Yeah, thought you might have heard. She's always expecting me, yeah?
Hey, that's great.
Yeah, we think so. You know, if it's a boy, we kind of like to name it after you.
Right on, kid.
Yeah, it's got a real nice ring to it.
Go!
Spade Pickle!
Last season, you're going to run and hit and hurt and run some more. All right, now let's go. 42 trap, Piccolo up.
Oh, now here, let me tell you this one, Bill. This is the nutcracker right here. Yeah, well, they let me go through there at one time, but they hit me about 22 times. There was a guy named Jimmy Gunn who was... He came out of SC as an All-American middle linebacker, was a backup guy. Mm-hmm. And the night before, I had gone out with Butkus, Obradovich, Keurig, and Buffon in a little red. The first year, they have a freshman-like party for the rookies, a rookie party.
Right.
They took me out and proceeded to have a few drinks, have a few beers, and they sent me up to this girl's house and said, go knock on that door, Jimmy, it's 12 o'clock. I got out of this little car, knocked on the door, and a guy answered. They were laughing in the car, but I'm an idiot. And I'm standing there, so who do you want? I said, I want Susan. He says, get the hell out of here. He says, but I'm with the Bears. He says, I don't care who you're with. Anyway, I got drunk, and they laid me in Hallis's bed. The night before that scene where I got a head hit.
Well, you had a great time with these guys. Really.
But they laid me in Hallis's bed. They thought it was very funny. Thankfully, you know, and Gibran woke me up, put me in the in a sauna that next morning. And when I didn't start sweating after a half hour, I thought I was dead, you know.
Hmm.
Then they let me get hit in the head there a few times. That hurt a lot. That hurt a lot.
All right, let's go, Bobby. Go.
Yours, Gil. 28 toss.
That's Kincannon.
This was at, wasn't this, this was at,
this
at,
was at Notre
the,
Dame. Notre Dame, it was the Bears against Cleveland, but now this is actual footage. But you're right, we went right to Notre Dame Stadium, right?
Right.
Uh-oh.
I do remember some things that went on.
I don't know, Billy. We're going to have a little talk after this thing is over. You're going to a home, pal.
His leg was really messed up in this, I think. I mean, it was really twisted.
Oh, there's no telling what records this guy would have broke.
But you were hanging out with those guys all the time.
Yeah, I was playing ball. I mean, they made fun of me. I literally got into my head. I mean, this Walter Mitty, like, infantile brain of mine that, you know, I could maybe... You know, screw getting another picture. Maybe get like 1 year, maybe. You know,
you really?
Well, I mean, in my head. Mm. Thank God it's where it stayed because they'd have murdered me. When's the last time you saw it, Billy? I haven't seen this in a long time.
I haven't seen it in a while. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Well, somebody told me that you watch this every night before you go to bed. Is that true?
No.
Okay.
No. I haven't seen it.
Just because you miss me so much.
Well, I have missed you, actually. Your craziness.
Gil, it's just so good to have you home.
Yeah, it's good to be home.
Can I get you anything?
Yes, I was a New York actor.
From Kansas, see? I don't think anybody's
serious.
I never heard that.
Well, it's almost lunchtime. Would you like a sandwich or something?
No, I'm not hungry. You go ahead, though.
You know, another one who had fantasies about playing football was Marvin Gaye.
Joy, so I guess I better go pick
really?
Up.
Yeah, he wanted. What? He was really serious about it.
Yeah.
They had those Walter Mitty fantasies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I went to Michigan State when I was 16. I was just a little young.
How well did you do? Did you do well?
No. As a matter of fact, I saw Coach Daugherty 16 years later at the racetrack. He used to love to go to the racetrack. And I walked in one day. I hadn't seen him in 16 years. And he introduced me to Bud Wilkinson and Johnny Majors, who had just won Coach of the Year. He goes, here's one of my dummies. And he said, you know what? I ought to get 10% of your career. I said, why is that, Coach? He said, I told you to quit playing football. He did. Yeah.
But you, being a New York kid, though, going into Michigan, what made you decide to go to Michigan to play?
It was the only school to take. Michigan State. Don't make that mistake. It was Michigan State.
Okay.
I'll get beat up.
Oh, okay. Okay, Michigan State.
MSU. Yeah.
Yes, thought you'd never get
it. What did you major in?
Meisterbrow and football. Meisterbrow was an unpasteurized beer, I think, at the time.
No, seriously.
I'm
curious.
And a little beer.
No, really, seriously.
I switched my major about 8 times. I was not meant for, you know, for college, nor was it meant for me.
Well, who made you go to college?
Well, my high school graduated me when I was 16 because, not because I was bright, because I wasn't, but they could not stand me. They had to get rid of me. I was president of the school. And so I went to one summer school, and they got me out. my basketball coach, I knew some guys on the, you know, some guys. So I went there on a tryout, on a scholarship tryout. And, you know, then I just lied about my age because I couldn't get a date at 16. And I lasted a year, and then I got real homesick and went to Hofstra for a year and then went to the neighborhood playoffs. That was the last thing I had. It was that where I was going to go to work with my dad at the meat market.
Did you study with Meisner?
No, Meisner just left. You know who's teaching there at the time? At 19 was Sidney Pollack when I was there. Yeah, so I went there for a while, and then I got a scholarship with Win Handman. So I studied with Win. Did you know Win? For 4 years, I studied with him.
Went to the same school.
Oh, here, this is what I was telling you about.
Colleges used to come down and watch us play, and old Tuck, he wound up at Auburn, and I wound up at Wake Forest. Good school, nice place, but, well, not exactly center ring, you understand? So I worked my tail off at Forest. My senior year, I led the nation in rushing and scoring. I mean, I led the entire nation. So, I go look for a pro team and I pick the Bears. Now, who else comes to the Bears? Mr. Sayers. Big guns, big school. I'm number two all over again. Well, old buddy, I'm number one guy now, but for all the wrong reasons. Unless you come back 100%, people are going to say, Piccolo get in on a pass. Lucky break. See, I don't want it like that. I'm going to whip you, Sayers. But you got to be at your best. I won't mean a thing. You're not going to be 1 second slower, 1 degree weaker. I am going to work your tail off to get that leg back in shape. For my sake. You got that.
Commercial.
Do you think they were really that close?
I've heard a couple, you know, like a couple stories both ways. That's why I think they always left Ralph Kurek out of the equation. I think Ralph and Gale were extremely close. But yeah, I know they were close. I mean,
yeah, I know they were close too. But I often wonder how close.
Well, I'd sure like to think it was they were that close.
Hello, Dr. Fox. This is Brian Piccolo. How's he doing?
Pretty well, Brian, I think. Though it is boring going through all those exercises all by yourself. It's drudgery. And it's
well,
pain.
It's a nice story about two guys who are not gay.
And I think the truth is, as you say, you know, Gale was exactly that. He was very quiet, you know, and Brian was like the team clown, you know.
Right.
He put, like, stick 'em on the roll-on, you know, the underarm deodorant roll-ons. You know, he'd put, like, glue and stuff. I mean, he did all this kind of stuff.
But you know, I've met so many people who have been deeply affected by this experience, this movie. I met one guy one day, and he says, I got to tell you something. You know, whenever I want to sort of purge myself, and I go into my library and lock my door and put Brian's song on. I says, my God, I didn't realize this was a religious experience, too. Jesus.
Nigger.
Listen, I bet.
Chicken nigger.
Don't make me laugh.
I know what I'll do. Call Gale a nigger. And he'll do all the rest. Too much.
It's really like the ideal relationship between two guys from different backgrounds, really. I think that's what affected so many people.
Now that would make me mad.
What are you guys doing?
You wouldn't believe it, baby, but he... Brian tried to call me a nigga.
I mean, the whole experience was such a special experience.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the
it was like something
kids watching this show, and that they made kids watch this show.
Mm.
meant something, you know, special to me, you know, in high
but
school.
But you know, the feeling I got was when I was shooting this movie down there, the Bingo Long Traveling All Stars and Motor Kings, down in Georgia, and guys who would people who would ordinarily socialize with each other, you know, whites and blacks. I mean, these people were they would keep talking about Brian's song like it was an experience that they wish they could actually know. They never really had it, but it seeing it on the screen was an experience that I had a feeling that they wished they could actually have in their life.
Well, yeah, I guess that's why they insisted.
Now, this is where you used to kick my ass all the time. I mean, and yeah. I used to have to ask you, could you just slow up a little bit, please? Because you're like about 40 yards ahead of me.
Who would believe it? Who would believe it, Billy? This guy was built like a brick.
Oh, I was so happy to fall down then. Yes, I dispelled all of those rumors about black men being fast on their feet.
That's why I couldn't get over it. How do you want to do this? What do you mean, how do I want to do it? Billy, come on, what are you doing? Stop kidding around. I ain't kidding around. Oh, God.
It was a funny day. It was a funny day.
Oh, gosh.
Well, it's like working with Stallone when I did Nighthawks with him. Same damn thing.
What'd you guys do?
Oh, he was he was in shape, man. It was Nighthawks, and he was just going. I had to ask him to slow up.
Jeez, you just blew everything. Everybody thought I was just speedball. Now you put slides like faster than you, too.
Oh,
Jesus.
Geez, I'm sorry. This I couldn't even do. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, there's the man. But just gosh almighty.
And it was the first time, this movie was the first time I had ever really actually heard, being sitting down there on the, with the guys, to hear those guys hit each other.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
Well, I had some personal contact. Boy, they rung my bell. But, you know, that was the point. That's what I had to prove. There was part of me that I had to prove it to those guys because I felt like, here we are, Hollywood, you know, and we're going to deface maybe this guy that was a legend, you know, as far as being a clown and being loved.
Yeah,
right.
For a while, I'll just...
No, actually, I wanted to talk to the boy.
You know, to be part of the Bears. You know what I mean? To come in there.
Right.
So it was all of that. So it was part of me that felt that I had to do that, you know, that I had to go take a beat. But you were much smarter than me. You always have been. You stayed there, and you had your coffee, and you read your lines.
Well, I knew. I just knew that we were weighing. We did a scene where all these guys were standing around and we were all being weighed. And I looked at these guys and I said to myself, "This." And then I also saw the way that these guys were being trained. They were being trained to kill, to destroy.
Coach, I didn't think it was possible, but I think you finally found a way to shut him up.
You know, by the way, you know, I think the hand slap was the first time it got popular after this. You know, when we
started, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think that it was.
Is Brian scoring a touchdown? There's Gail scoring a touchdown. God,
I used to love to watch the footage on this guy.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
He used to laugh at my legs.
Laugh at your legs. How about when I came out the first day, the guy said, last time I saw legs like that, they had message tied around them. I used to wear 5 pair of socks. You notice you don't see me in shorts. Yeah. They said, do you wear snowshoes to the shower? There's Brian's going. So I literally put on 4 pair of socks, cut off the bottom, and then so that the elastic would touch my legs. Look at this.
Yeah, look at that.
Brian. Here you go.
Yeah, this is the scene.
Look how skinny I am.
I had never been in a room with guys as big as that all at one time.
The trick I'd like to give you is
how to keep some meat on. You're down another pound.
You got to admit, what's there is all choice, though, isn't it?
206
Listen,
and a
but you got little handlebars
in the
lead.
Oh, Gibbs, I don't know what's battle.
I was a lead meat. I was 175
Wait,
untamed
take
love.
Take another look at the back.
Get out.
They gave me them tight shorts. I was under your orders, too. Look at this. They won't even go down on you.
Maybe he just wants to be quicker, Gibber.
10 pounds lighter, half a second slower in a 40-yard sprint. It ain't working.
Come on, Brian, hit that hole. Hit it! What's wrong with you?
Brian literally was a 205-pound fullback. I mean, which is, you know, that's unheard of.
Is he really hurting? Gotta move. Not hitting. Come on, baby, come on. We gotta get it.
This is at the pre.
This was at Notre Dame Stadium against. Well, then they cut back to this footage, but the sidelines they used. It was Cleveland, a pre-season game, right?
Well, I'll never forget when I was actually walking off the field. And people actually thought I was Gale Sayers.
And then you ran a few steps, and they all came too. Huh?
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
Nice block.
Thanks. There must be 90 million pounds of pollen in the air.
I still cough like that, though.
Yeah, I saw that when you were walking up the stairs.
Good day, Dr. Fox. We got you some for that hay fever.
Huh? Good. The only thing I'm allergic to is Nitschke. Come on, stick it in her ear!
I was doing that scene, I thought to myself, at that time I was thinking, is this what these guys do after they come off the field? I mean, is this the look? Is this the breathing pattern, you know?
I don't feel very much like a winner about it.
Billy didn't need no instruction in bathtubs, by the way, right? Or whirlpools. Billy was well equipped for this scene.
Boy, look at the pecs on that.
See? But, you know, like... How does a guy breathe and stuff like that? Stuff he didn't know how a guy breathes or how he. But this stuff he was so comfortable. The only thing he was missing was like some hors d'oeuvres, and, I don't know, a bikini around him somewhere.
While he gets started,
Piccolo's never been one of those guys. He's always been in shape, willing to give 100%. But he's not doing that anymore. And that's what worries me.
Jack was so good, huh?
I don't know what
it is. Yeah, he was real good.
Something physical, or it might be an emotional disturbance. Something with his wife, children.
Pick, come on.
Well, something's taking the edge off him. And I gotta find out what that something is. For his sake as well as the team's.
This thing still holds up. It still holds up. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Like the hotel right away.
It's a miracle.
I wouldn't want to be in your shoes about 10 minutes from now.
See, the shirt helps you there, see. You take the shirt off, it's over.
I'm tired. I was 175 of untamed love right there, man.
I don't believe it. I mean, really, who'd believe it? Alice just wants you to see the doctor.
Alice don't know what he wants. Gibron's his boy. You should have heard that lecture. Wants me to pass things up with
you. You've had a great career after this. Well, I was starting before this, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did The Godfather right before this. But it hadn't
come out yet. I remember
you
talking about it. Yeah, you used to tell me stories about The Godfather.
You're rabbing in a jockstrap.
Pick, be fair. Dr. Fox says that...
Hey, don't give me no crud about our great team doctor. Wants me to get a physical for the cough. No allergy. What is it, I say, he says? Well, could be a virus. Could be staph infection. Could be any one of a thousand things. Being treated in a damn Chinese restaurant. Two from column A, three from column B.
You just try to help.
You're right.
It's also pointless, Gail.
I remember how excited you were about that, that whole experience.
I know perfectly well what's wrong with me.
You were kind of cute.
Thanks, Bill.
Gail, I think I'm pregnant.
Let's try to keep our comments, Bill, to Brian's song.
Oh, okay.
Let's not talk about Sly, and let's not talk about The Godfather, Bill.
Okay, all right.
These people here are starting to get upset. Okay. Uh-oh, is this this
okay, Brian.
Scene you got to do? Oh, yeah, this is it.
Hey, Coach, which end of the field do you want me to take if we lose the toss?
Look at those legs.
They were good.
It's embarrassing.
We just got a call from the hospital. Brian Piccolo has cancer.
Oh, God.
They've scheduled an operation for tomorrow morning.
An operation to do what?
Gail. They're going to have to remove part of Brian's right lung.
Play to the camera, Bill.
See?
Something that Brian carried on inside him.
I didn't know he was thinking all this crap at the time. I was in a hospital. I couldn't be around to watch him.
They got it in time. I'm afraid they don't know that either.
Who's going to tell him?
I'll tell him.
No. I'll tell him.
You, Gail?
That's right, me.
What a cutie pie. What a cutie pie.
Let's go.
May I have your attention a minute, fellas? Come on over here. Gail has something he wants to say to you. Gail?
Game ball to the outstanding player. Well, I'd like to change that. We just got word that Brian Piccolo is sick, very sick. And it looks like he might never play football again. Or a long time. I think we should dedicate ourselves to give our maximum effort to win this game. And give the game ball a pick. We can all sign it.
and take it up. Oh, my God.
Fantastic. Could you believe it? Sayers, I mean, you've got some moves on the field, but in the locker room, you are one big klutz. Now, listen to me.
I don't think there's ever been a story like this, yeah?
When you dedicate a game to someone, you are then supposed to go out and win it, idiot.
You know, Pat O'Brien never said, let's blow one for the keeper.
Man, you was so bad.
You probably would have won a game. Con kind of had to call that trap play more, but he just sort of hates to call it without you in there for the repeat.
Hammock, don't it?
Hey, anybody want to see my scar?
Oh, no, man. No.
Out.
What's the matter? Well,
out, now.
What?
No discussion. Out.
What do you do? Everybody.
We just got her.
You know, I remained friendly with Joy and a girl for a little while after that.
Did you?
Yeah. And with a lot of the guys. You're the only guy I didn't remain friendly with, Gil.
Well, you went to Vegas.
I became friends. I went to Vegas.
Yeah, I wasn't hanging out there. You know?
I went to Vegas. Right.
You didn't want to hang out with me anyway.
Nah. Yeah, no. That's enough.
I was too quiet for you.
Yeah, 12 weeks with a black guy was all I wanted. That's it. I'm finished.
Well, I'm not a black guy.
Oh, there was? Oh, okay. I never saw
you
that.
You made that big mistake. You did.
Yeah, I became friendly with everybody but Billy.
We had a great relationship.
Nah, it was really good. Have you seen anybody other than Gail, though?
No.
I see Dick every once in a while. I see OB I saw for quite a while in Dougie Buffon, but it's been years since.
Buck, is he acting still? Is he,
yeah, he's out here. He lives out by Malibu. He's so tough, he does whatever he wants. He can act, he do anything.
Well, one of the things I remember about him is that they used to tell me he wrote poetry. That was true, wasn't it? He liked to write poetry.
I don't know about that, Bill. I think somebody pulled along. You see how gullible you are? I don't know. He came from Illinois. I mean, played there, and he would eat nails. I don't know about writing poetry. Who told you that? You remember?
I don't remember who told me that. But
must have been me.
But I thought it was probably. Probably.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sure it must have been you.
Oh, well, do you have a home address?
That was Kulik's daughter, that played the nurse. This girl.
Oh, here. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mrs. Bigelow, Patty's dead. She passed away early this morning.
She was such a pretty girl.
So. I think it was Ron Smith there next to you. No, oh, no, he didn't come till later. I wonder if this is the day when you had six touchdowns. Look, you had six touchdowns. I'm sitting there with you. See? That's what I mean about my Walter Mitty-like brain.
Oh, that's a great compliment.
Yeah. Watch this. Oh, my goodness.
I was asking about that, too. He just said, you know, his whole thing is like he was born with it. He just said, oh, this
that's
just
absolutely
God
true,
gift.
By the way. Mm-hmm. There's a thing when you look at the great runners, him, that other guy we don't mention, Tony Dorsett. There's only three or four of them that had that. It's like, you know, they never deal with this first tackler. They absolutely see their route to the end zone. The minute they see a little air, they don't deal with this tackler.
Mm.
They see their whole route. It's that peripheral vision, and it's all God-given.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't teach that.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
They run this route that's been like a picture in their brain to the end zone. It's amazing.
I'll tell you a guy that I love to watch footage on is Jim Brown.
Oh, man. Best all around, inside and outside.
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah, he was the king. But this guy on the outside was... like Jimmy
Walt
was in the
Payton.
Inside. Well, Payton just didn't have that fourth gear. That's that one, you know, like Gale had that fourth gear. You know, it was in third, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden somebody there, and all of a sudden, boom, it was a fourth gear. Mm. Tony had it. OJ had it. You know, and Tony Dorsett, but not many.
Thing I got's bad, I know that.
Peyton was just all around. He was just tough and
just a detour, Joy.
Dedicated. And, I mean, great, but it's that one
man.
God-given thing that that you mentioned. It was just some of those great ones. Just
well, that's a Gale. Gale, that's what Gale said to me. I mean, when I saw him a couple of months ago, when I was asking him, I says, "Well, how do you feel about that? I mean, how do you see yourself in that way?" He says, the only thing I can tell you is just it's God-given.
It is. It says you can't teach it. You know, it's like you ever see these guys that play pool and they break the pack, and they, in 1 minute, they may not be able to read or write, but they can tell you the order they're going to run the balls and what angle they have to be on each ball. You know, it's that kind
of... Yeah, right. I understand.
Oh, it's almost autistic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Autistic?
Well, whatever's the right word. Artistic.
Artistic.
Yes, well, at least you won a game.
That's right.
Yeah. You didn't dedicate this one to me, though, did you?
Nope, dedicated it to Butkus.
Why?
Because he threatened us? How you doing, Pig? Seriously.
Well, yeah. I'm hanging in there, Magic. Just doing what they tell me to do. Hey, listen, man. You do me a favor, huh?
You got it. Name it.
I'll call Joy, will you? When she left here tonight, she was really down. I never saw her that down, no.
I'll call as soon as I get back.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Phone call from Mr. Sayers. Lady says it's an emergency. She seems very upset.
I'll take it.
I hope I did the right thing.
I'm sure you did. Thank you very much. Yeah?
Thank you.
Joy Pigwell.
I helped direct her in this scene, actually, because Buzz Kulick said to me, he said he was looking to get something out of her in that moment. And he came to me, and I couldn't believe it. He said, I guess he had that much respect for me as an actor, because I didn't go out, you know, playing football and stuff like that. I was really dedicated to
whatever
my art.
Whatever you say.
No, I'm only joking.
No, I'm only joking.
No, I'm just joking.
Well, you know what? I knew that.
They told me this morning that they want to operate again. And I was going to tell Brian. But I just couldn't, Gail.
You know, again, you know, The thing about this picture is that if it wasn't, for Billy Blinn, you know, to try to find humor in this story, do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. there was so much humor in it, and I think that's probably what made it work. But if not for that, this would have been one of the, you know, just from them, because they try to do a lot of these afterwards, you know.
No, I know. I mean,
you know, with the blind, this one and the other guy. Yes, that.
I know. This
I think
is it.
He, Billy, was so exceptional, and that this thing could have been so, you but know, sacred and so.
Yeah, but the whole experience was exceptional to me. I mean, everything about it was exceptional. The casting, it was like nothing was an accident. It was like it was supposed to be.
Well, I'm just, my point is that I think it started with Billy, though. You know what I mean?
That's, no, I understand.
That he found that humor in such a, you know. You know, a heavy down start, you know.
Well, did you gain what?
Come in.
Oh, I'm sorry if I'm...
But it's, you know, it's the relationship between these two guys. It's just so different. It was so different. And you're right. Everybody else has tried it, and it's never been the same.
I need your signature on this.
What is it?
Well, the doctor has been here, hasn't he? He's talked to you, I mean.
No, why?
Oh, well, I'll step back a little later.
Oh, no, wait.
I always like this scene for some reason.
Because you're morbid.
I guess that's what it is, yes.
Talk to me, Magic.
The test show. There's more of the tumor than they thought, Dick. They have to operate again.
Funny thing about it, you can't play scenes like this anymore. You can't take that much time anymore.
See, that's why I like to run the football. And stuff. I don't do this talking and walking stuff.
Yeah, but you're very good at it, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I'd rather talk to you.
That was a wonderful moment.
Brian's a professional athlete, Mr. Billy. A professional gets into a habit after a while. He gets himself ready for a game mentally as well as physically. Because he knows those two things are all tied up together. And there's a clock inside. And when the game starts, he's 100% mentally and physically. And what Brian is saying is that you're scheduling the game before he can get ready. Well, couldn't it wait until over the weekend? Well, yes, it could, Ben, let it.
Big Monday morning, Mr. Piccolo. I'll see you then.
Now, you know, it's funny that the point is that, like Billy said, it was great. I mean, the whole thing was, you know, and the unfortunate thing at that time was that there was this, what the heck's the right word? There was the stigma to doing television, you know, at the time, you know, and I just finished doing, you know, some pretty big movies and da-da-da-da-da. And I literally, like an idiot, turned this down 3 times for all the wrong reasons. Because, you know, you had to pay attention to the people that hired you. I mean, I was got into that whole thing, like, oh, you know. God, thank God somebody, you know, beat me in the head and said, don't get your ego involved over here. But, I mean, there literally was that stigma, you know, which I think is really stupid and it's a horrible one. But I, you know, I fell prey to it. And I was, you know, I mean, actors should be able to do anything they want, like they did in England, you know, and they do. But so thankfully, there's some guys who... I mean, I love it. There's no doubt that I love it.
It's tough to make choices, though, isn't it, sometimes? I mean,
well, there was no doubt that it was a brilliant script, and that's what made it painful. You know what I mean? I loved, you know.
So what was your reason for...
Just that. Just that at that time, there was such a stigma about, you know, it's like you're out of work. You know, by the people that run our lives, not by me. But, you know, it's like... Gee, you just did these 2 features and you did a film for television.
So
you must be out of work.
Oh,
yeah, you know.
Okay.
I think it's all baloney and it's horrible.
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah, it's Billy's scene. Hold it. Yep. Billy's getting another award. Everybody shut up. I'll come out there and break your face.
This is I Love Brian Piccolo. You can't beat this moment.
I'd like to say a few words about a guy I know, a friend of mine. His name is Brian Piccolo, and he has the heart of a giant and a rare form of courage which allows him to kid himself and his opponent. Cancer. He has a mental attitude which makes me
proud to have a friend who spells out courage 24 hours a day, every day of his life. Now, you flatter me by giving me this award. But I say to you here now, Brian Piccolo is the man of courage who should receive the George S. Halas Award. He's mine tonight. And Brian Piccolo is tomorrow. I love Brian Piccolo. And I'd like all of you to love him, too. And tonight, hit your knees. Please ask God to love him.
Yeah, I remember this theme song, Berry Gordy. Fell in love with this theme song and decided to use it in, I think, for Mahogany or Lady Sings a Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Mahogany, yeah.
I didn't know
he hired Michelle Legrand because he fell in love with this theme.
Hi, Magic.
How you doing, Pick?
I'm hanging in there. I heard what you did at that banquet last night. You know, if you were here, I'd kiss you.
Glad I'm not there, then.
Gilly, tell me you gave me a pint of blood. Is that true?
Yep.
That explains it to you.
Explain what?
I've had this craving for chitlins all day.
I'll be there tomorrow. See you then.
I ain't going anywhere.
You know, my father was like that. My father was dying of cancer. He was telling jokes.
Yeah. How is he, Linda, really?
Hurry, girl. Please hurry.
Oh, boy.
This is where I told you that Larry Gordon said he claims that I said I was smoking a cigarette and sitting on a bed, and I said, when they asked me, did we start to do the scene? He said, he claims that I said, hold my cigarette and hold my can of Coke. I have to die. Excuse me, I'll be right back.
You don't remember doing it?
Well, he swears. I guess he had some people that witnessed this. Said, here, I got to die. I'll be right back. Hold this.
This is such a lovely moment between two guys.
So bad. Erases. Here's one of you. The biggest from head to toe.
You better believe.
How you doing?
Thank you.
Remember when you caught me with those mashed potatoes?
Deserved it. The way you sang that dumb fight song. That 32 trap play. Remember?
I'm gonna get you next training, Kent. I'm gonna get you. I'm feeling a little punk, so I think I'll try to get some sack. Okay.
Okay. I'll see you tomorrow.
You say so.
I remember I said to myself, under no conditions am I going to cry during this. You know, so I try to laugh through it. You know, I mean, that's the only thing I remember preparing for this. And it didn't work.
I love you, Brian. I love you.
Brian Piccolo died of cancer at the age of 26. He left a wife and three daughters. He also left a great many loving friends who miss him and think of him often. But when they think of him, it's not how he died.
Yeah, it's hard not to be touched by it, no matter what.